You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Judith Sears Poisson. Delegates are part of every presidential primary season, especially at the nominating convention for each party. Whoever brings in the most delegates wins the nomination.
But in this election cycle, the role of super delegates has been getting a lot of attention, especially on the Democratic side. Despite Bernie Sanders' win in the New Hampshire primary, Hillary Clinton walked away with as many delegates as he did because of super delegates who had already committed to her. That got us wondering, how does the delegate system work and who are the superdelegates?
Elaine K. Mark lectures in public policy at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government. She's also a senior fellow in the Governance Studies program at Brookings Institution. And she's the author of Primary Politics, How Presidential Candidates Have Shaped the Modern Nominating System. Elaine, welcome to Central Time.
Well, thank you for having me.
So before we dive into talking about superdelegates, can you tell us how the delegate system works?
Well, it's pretty similar on both sides of the aisle for both parties. Usually there is a primary. Most states do have primaries. What the primary does is it doesn't elect the delegates themselves. It simply allocates the delegates, which is something not many people realize. So what, for instance, and each party has different rules for how you allocate the delegates, but basically the results of the primary tell you how many delegates each presidential candidate is entitled to. And then at some later date, usually, the party holds a separate meeting, a convention, a caucus, something like that, and the actual people are elected. Both parties now elect the delegates in accordance with the primary. So very few delegates are elected independently of the results of the primary.
So then we have the super delegates, and we'll talk about that on the Republican side just a little later. But in a recent New York Times opinion piece looking at the Democratic primaries, the editorial board called the Democratic super delegates the party bigwigs. So who are those bigwigs exactly?
Well, they are all the Democratic governors, all the Democratic senators, and all the Democratic members of the House of Representatives. A handful of other people, like living former presidents, so President Clinton gets a vote at the convention, and then the members of the Democratic National Committee. And that includes the state chairman and vice chairman from every state and the National Committee members. Now, the DNC is the group that actually puts on the nomination system. Give you an example, the Democratic Party of Iowa had to find 1,681 precinct caucus locations to hold the Iowa caucuses. They had to publicize that. They had to organize somebody to be there at every place. They had to organize the reporting, et cetera. It's a big, big job. It is better if the party chairman is kind of non-committed. And so as a reward, and it's not much of a reward, but as a reward, they get to go to the convention uncommitted. And the same thing for the Republican Party chairman and the Republican National Committee members. They are all superdelegates, if you will, to the Republican convention.
So the superdelegates are, you said, uncommitted. They're
yeah.
able to vote for the candidate, the candidate that they feel would be the best nominee for the party, regardless of how their state goes?
Yes, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. They are allowed, they're not, required to vote according to the results of the primary in their state. Now, that being said, there's a lot of, paranoia about this, but the superdelegates almost always vote according to how the public votes, right? Why? Because guess what? They're all elected, too. So it's very unusual that you're going to have somebody who's, going against the will of the people. The superdelegates have been in power since 1984 convention. They have never overturned the will of the delegates elected through the primary system.
And the rest of those delegates, are they, is it a winner-take-all where if someone wins a primary in a state, if a candidate wins that primary, they get all of the delegates, or is it proportional to how the votes go?
Well, in the Democratic Party, it's all proportional, okay? In the Republican Party, it's about half and half. So far, the delegates in the Republican Party, it's been mostly proportional. On Super Tuesday, it'll be mostly proportional. And then, according to the Republican rules, starting on March 15th, the delegates will be elected in a variety of ways, but more winner-take-all than proportional.
I think it's kind of no surprise that this whole system can be kind of mind-boggling to the non-political animal.
It is kind of mind-boggling, but, you know, what I tell people is, you know, you don't really have to worry about that. And the reason is, I mean, look, in the old days, we had to work out these formulas by hand when we got the votes in. These days, the people at the networks, you know, the wonks who do the hard work at the networks, they have these wonderful newfangled things called computers, and there are many, many different allocation formulas, but frankly, they're plugged into computers. So as soon as the results, say the Republican primary results for the first congressional district in Alabama come in and are, you know, there's enough of the vote in to see what the vote looks like, the formula is programmed in, and we know automatically, oh, that means Donald Trump won 2 delegates, or that means that Hillary Clinton won 3 delegates, you know. And so we don't really have to worry about it other than to know that early in the system on the Republican side, candidates can split up the vote because it's proportional. As the Republican contest goes on, there will be a fair number of states that are winner-take-all. And so whoever wins the state wins everything.
We're talking with Elaine Kmark. She's an adjunct lecturer in public policy at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government. She's also a senior fellow in the Governance Studies program at Brookings Institution and the director of the Center for Effective Public Management at Brookings. She wrote the book Primary Politics: How Presidential Candidates Have Shaped the Modern Nominating System. So going back to the Democratic side, because there's been a lot more talk of superdelegates and the role they might play on that side of the primaries. Out of the entire pool of delegates, what percentage have that superdelegate status?
On the Democratic side, it's about 14%. It varies a little bit because, you know, some years if the Democrats control the Congress, they've got more members. Some years they don't. And on the Republican side, it's smaller. It's about 4%.
And we've been hearing a lot about the role of superdelegates on the Democratic nomination because of the fact partly that it's a higher percentage, but also because there do seem to be some splits happening between Bernie Sanders doing very well in New Hampshire, winning that primary, but Hillary Clinton coming out with almost as many delegates because of those superdelegates that have declared for her. Republicans, as you said, also have superdelegates, but they've recently made a change to that system. What was that change?
To the superdelegate system?
For Republicans?
Yeah, what the Republicans changed was that they now allocate all their delegates according to the results of the primaries. That didn't used to be the case in the Republican Party. And so in Iowa, for instance, their convention delegates will have to reflect the division of preferences among those first-tier caucus goers that we saw. In terms of their superdelegates, it's simply the national committee people, and I don't think they bind them according to the results of the primary. Those people are, you know, there by virtue of their office.
Mm-hmm. And so let's go back to the Democrats. For a candidate to have a lock on the nomination by the time of the party's national convention, what do they have to have accomplished?
Well, they simply need a majority of delegates, right, going into the convention. The magical number for the Democrats is 2,408, I believe, is the magic number for the Democrats. and they need to have that number of delegates, and it needs to be, you know, confirmed. So what usually happens is that as the delegate count goes on, and as we move through the spring, 2,408 for the Democrats, 1,237 for the Republicans. Mm. As the contest goes on throughout the spring, the media usually keeps track of the delegates. For those delegates who get elected who are perhaps uncommitted, they will try to ask them, you know, what's your preference? Who do you think you might vote for? They'll do the same thing for the superdelegates. They'll poll them and then re-poll them and re-poll them because they can change their minds. And so that we'll see that. You'll see starting on March 1st, you'll see that the big result out of March 1st, the big story will be in each party, who won the most delegates. Now, the most interesting thing here to remember is that by and large, there will be no people selected on March 1st to be delegates to the convention. It will only be that Donald Trump, for instance, will get X number of people once they elect them. But usually that takes place after the primaries. So that's a little confusing.
Right. So it's when those people come in as delegates, they will be told, you're voting for candidate X because they carried your state.
Well, I mean, what happens is that you can't, by and large, the presidential candidates have to approve the people who are running for delegates in their name.
Hmm.
So it's not that they're told there will be a Donald Trump caucus or a Hillary Clinton caucus. And the campaigns generally have a lot to say about who runs as their delegates because they want people running who are genuinely supporters and who are not going to get there and change their mind.
So have there ever been any serious moves to change or eliminate the delegate system or at least the superdelegates?
Nope. After 2008, the Obama campaign, which was kind of in the same situation that the Sanders campaign finds themselves in today, they felt that they were doing really well, but all the superdelegates were for Hillary. And after that, there was a movement to try and change it. And, of course, it failed because the people who have to change it are the members of the Democratic National Committee. And the members of the Democratic National Committee didn't find it very palatable to deprive themselves of votes at the convention. And they certainly weren't going to have a vote to give themselves votes and deprive their senators and their governors and their congressmen of votes at the convention. So that's why it didn't change, and that's why it probably won't change.
So just to wrap up, Elaine, if we asked you to look into your crystal ball, do you think the superdelegates are going to have any significant impact on the outcome of this year's election or the nominating process?
Most likely they will not, and the reason will be that in a two-way race, somebody is going to probably come up with a majority. The only way you have the superdelegates having an important impact is if the people don't decide. If the people don't decide, and that means that, for instance, the two candidates come in tied, or in the Republican instance, in the Republican case, nobody gets a first ballot majority, so then the superdelegates will be very important. But frankly, because the superdelegates are all elected officials and have to go back and face the same voters that voted for the presidential candidates, by and large, they will follow the will of the people when push comes to shove. But it is always possible that the will of the people will be ambiguous or inconclusive, in which case then the superdelegates really matter.
Well, Elaine, thanks so much for explaining all of that for us.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
That was Elaine Kmark of Harvard's Kennedy School of Government and the Brookings Institution. She's the author of Primary Politics, How Presidential Candidates Have Shaped the Modern Nominating System. And she joined us to explain the delegate system.